The feast that we celebrate today, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, is the patronal feast day of the United States. The National Basilica in Washington, D.C. is dedicated to Mary of the Immaculate Conception. And the question I want to address today is, why is the Immaculate Conception so important? And why is it so important that it's a holy day of obligation? And sometimes people who are not Catholic will ask, well, why do you even put so much emphasis on events like this? Why do we focus on Mary at all? And I think if we go back to our first reading and we see things in perspective, I think it becomes pretty clear. Now, there's something in the first reading that I'm sure many of you might have just glanced over and not really pulled out. But after Adam and Eve had sinned and God is dealing out the punishments, he first addresses the serpent. And gives the punishment to the serpent. But then he says a very interesting line. He says, let me see if I can find it in here. He says, I will put enmity, talking to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman. Question is, who is the woman? And we might think, well, the only woman there is Eve. But it's not talking about Eve, because Eve is not at enmity with the serpent. Eve just did what the serpent asked her to. Eve is under the authority of the serpent. She's entered into the kingdom of darkness. So he's not talking about Eve. And he's not talking about any of the descendants of Eve. Because Eve's in a state of sin, and her descendants are going to be in a state of original sin, which means they're under the authority of the kingdom of darkness. So who is this woman that God is talking about when he says to Eve, I will put enmity between you and the woman? God is making a prophecy here. He's making a prediction that at some point in the future, a woman is going to come who's going to be at enmity with the serpent, meaning she's going to be in a state of grace, untainted by sin, and her seed is going to crush the head of the serpent. This is what we call the proto-evangelium, the first good news. God's promise at the dawn of creation that he's not going to abandon the human race, and who is he going to send? He's going to send a woman who's in a state of grace. And so for all of human history, century after century, the human race was awaiting the coming of the woman who would conceive and bear a son. And then when we get to the gospel, we get to the very turning point of human history where an angel descends from heaven and appears to Mary and says, Hail, graced one. She is the woman who God has chosen to bring the Savior into the world. And so the Immaculate Conception, this is the very first prophecy God gave to the human race about his reversal of sin and the coming of salvation. And it's a prophecy that the woman would come in a state of grace and her son would conquer. And so when we see what God's plan is and how his plan unfolds throughout human history, Mary is at the very center. Because she is the God-bearer. She is the one who God predicted would come and bring the Savior into the world, who would conquer the power of sin and who would restore all creation. The one who would crush the power of the serpent would come through the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so Mary is the first person to come into the human history since the very dawn of creation to be without sin. To be at complete enmity with the serpent. And so we see that with Mary, the beginning of the reversal of the fall that happened in Genesis. So it's pretty hard for us to overstate the importance of the Immaculate Conception and the role that Mary has in salvation. And it's so important that when Mary appeared to now St. Bernadette at Lourdes, and St. Bernadette asked Mary who she was, she asked her several times before Mary responded, and she said, I am the Immaculate Conception. So she was the vessel who God was preparing. In order to understand who Mary is more clearly, you know, who she is at the very core of her being, Mary was perfectly and completely consecrated to God. And so what does it mean to be consecrated? We have different things that are consecrated that we'll use at Mass. For example, the chalices that we use are consecrated. That means that they're set apart for a sacred purpose. So the chalices that we use at Mass, once they're consecrated, the only use for those chalices is for the sacrifice of the Mass. They have a function that's so important, containing the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, that you would never use those chalices for anything else. You do not take a chalice home and use it at the dinner table and pour some milk in it and take a drink out of it. You don't take a consecrated item and use it for another purpose. Once something is consecrated, it is set apart for a purpose so important that you never use it for anything else. The Blessed Virgin Mary was fully consecrated to God. The reason for her virginity and for her purity and for the Immaculate Conception was she was perfectly consecrated to the purpose that God had for her as the sacred temple and the vessel that would bring Christ into the world. And so she was and is perfectly consecrated to the Lord, meaning that she would have relations with no human being. She would be entirely consecrated, and her will was perfectly conformed to the will of God. Never a single time did she sin in her entire life, because that would be to go against the will of God and to violate her perfect consecration to the Lord. And so for us to understand who Mary is, we see her as she truly is, somebody who was completely and perfectly consecrated to the Lord. What we should all be striving to be, even though we do fall short, Mary is the example for us to follow as the perfect disciple. And so our feast day today is one of great joy. Why is it so important? Because we celebrate the beginning of the reversal of human history, when the woman who God predicted would come has finally arrived. She gives her consent when she says, "Let it be done unto me according to thy will." And she lives perfectly consecrated to the Lord. And it's something that should bring us great joy, seeing the events of salvation unfold and the honor that we give to Mary because of the role God gave to her. You know, before the Immaculate Conception was declared by Pope Pius IX, for centuries, Catholics throughout the world were crying out for the declaration of the Immaculate Conception. This was something that Catholics worldwide held so dear that they were petitioning Rome, and they were calling out for the Pope to declare the Immaculate Conception. And when he finally did, Catholics throughout the world rejoiced that this teaching had finally been officially declared and made part of our feast day that we celebrate. And the United States is consecrated to her. And so it's historically a tremendously important feast day. And when we look at Mary's role in salvation history, we have much to celebrate today. For we who love our spiritual mother, we rejoice with her. And we rejoice in her perfect consecration to the Lord and how she gave herself fully to God's plan of salvation.